This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Rocio Perez, director of the Lifespan Project, a program of the Arc of Illinois. But first, disability news for the week of August 8th, 2022. Federal Medicaid officials are issuing new guidance aimed at making it easier for children with complex medical conditions like severe autism and cerebral palsy to access the care they need, even if that means crossing state lines. Under a new optional program, states can receive a temporary increase in federal Medicaid funding to create a health home benefit for children with complex medical conditions. The program, which was established in 2019, is designed to address the needs of children with significant health issues who require specialized care that often require out-of-state trips for medical care, according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. In a letter sent to state Medicaid directors, CMS is now describing how states can participate in that new program, which begins on October 1st. According to Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra, quote, every child deserves the care and support they need to stay healthy and thrive. This new Medicaid health home benefit will give states new options and financial incentive to improve care for children with complex medical conditions, end quote. The health home program could cover children under age 21 who are eligible for Medicaid and have a life-limiting illness or rare pediatric disease or chronic conditions that affect three or more organ systems, and severely reduces cognitive or physical functioning, such as the ability to eat, drink, or breathe independently. And that also requires the use of medication, durable medical equipment, therapy, surgery, or other treatment. With the program, states will be able to cover care coordination for children who are medically complex, including coordination of pediatric specialty medical services and coordination of care and services from out-of-state providers. The guidance also says that out-of-state medical services should be covered just like in-state offerings if they are more readily available in the other state or if it is, quote, general practice for beneficiaries in a particular locality to use medical resources in another state, end quote. States that choose to offer the benefit will receive a 15% increase in federal matching funds for associated costs with the service and ongoing technical assistance from CMS. Illinois State Treasurer Mike Frericks visited Advocates for Access, a group in Peoria Heights, last Tuesday. Frericks spoke with the group about the changes he wants to see in the Achieving a Better Life program, or ABLE Act. Established in 2014 by Congress, ABLE is a saving and investment account which allows a person with a disability and their families to save their own money for personal expenses without losing disability benefits. Frerich says he is fighting to raise the age of eligibility from 26 years old to 46 years old. Frerich says, quote, the disability would have to have manifested itself before age 26. So someone who is 29, 40, and on up, if they've had their disability before 26, they can still open their account today, end quote. Frerich said raising the age would provide more relief for those with disabilities. In order to change the age, Frerich said the community needs to advocate together. And finally, following a two-day trial, a federal jury awarded almost $300,000 in damages against the city of Springfield, Illinois, for attempting to close a group home for people with developmental disabilities back in 2016. In 2014, three people with intellectual and physical disabilities moved into a single-family home in Springfield where they received community residential services from their provider, Individual Advocacy Group, or IAG. The arrangement, known as a CILA, or Community Integrated Living Arrangement, permits people with disabilities who need regular care to live in an integrated community home rather than an institution. Even though the home was operating in compliance with state requirements, the city tried to shut it down in 2016. The city used a local ordinance that prohibited two homes for individuals with disabilities from operating within 600 feet of one another. The suit was filed by the Justice Department against the city of Springfield in 2017, and in 2020, the court ruled that the city had violated the Fair Housing Act by enforcing the spacing ordinance against the home, granting the United States and IAG's motions for summary judgment on liability. The jury determined that the city should pay a total of $293,000, $162,000 in compensatory damages to the residents of the home and their guardians, and $131,000 in compensatory damages to IAG. According to Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Civil Rights Division, quote, "The Fair Housing Act prevents cities from maintaining discriminatory zoning laws and enforcing them against their citizens. This verdict recognizes the significant pain and real harm that results when officials undertake discriminatory action to block group homes. We will continue to vigorously enforce the FHA to ensure that people with disabilities can live in the communities and housing of their choice, free from discrimination," end quote. And that's the news for this week.
Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by Rocio Perez, who is another member of the Arc of Illinois. Seems like we've had a few people from the Arc of Illinois on the show lately, but I'll tell you what, they provide a ton of great services and options for families. So, Rocio, welcome to the program. Very happy to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. We are happy to talk about our program.
Yes, and you have been in your position now for a relatively short time. You were preceded by my good friend Deb Fornoff. I just lost her last name. That happens when you get old, I guess. Deb did a great job, and I'm sure you had big shoes to fill, but it looks like and sounds like the Lifespan program is just going great guns with lots of great options and resources for parents. So why don't we we'll get to that, but first I want to have you talk a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to the audience, and tell us who you are and how you ended up in this position.
Sure. My name is Rocio Perez. I'm a social worker by background. I've been in the social service field for 30-plus years, so I am older as well. I've actually been in the disabilities field professionally for 18 years. And I guess my most important credential is that I'm the parent of an adult man with autism and mm-hmm. intellectual disabilities. So it's near and dear to my heart.
Yes. Well, you know, and that's one of the things I really appreciate about the ARC is they value parents and the parents' knowledge and their advocacy. So that's great. So in a nutshell, can you kind of summarize what the Lifespan Project is, and then we'll get more into the, you know, get into the weeds a little bit after you do that?
Sure. Well, the Lifespan started in 2001 to address a gap in information. And so my predecessor, Deb Fornoff, has done a wonderful job of developing our program, because it first started as a website with information, and especially about providers, because DHS or DDD didn't have that before. And so it started as a website. Now we have a helpline. We have monthly webinars, and we produce several fact sheets on information on topics that both parents as well as persons with disabilities have requested. And so throughout the years, we've also tried to have people in our program who are representing different parts of the state. So we have a Northern Illinois person, that is Suzanne Aaron. I'm kind of the metro Chicago area. We have Erica Stearns, who is in the Southern Illinois region. And then right now, we currently have a vacancy for our Central Illinois region. We really feel strongly that we need to have individuals who know the community and who will, and as a team, we complement each other.
Okay. So tell me, why is it important for there to be regional people for Lifespan? Are the regions that different?
I think that there's that closeness. When someone is in their community, they know the support groups, they know contacts that they can reach out to with other agencies. They know about the coalitions, and that complements the work that we already do. So, we have a foothold in the developmental disability arena, but it helps to know people who are, connected with the local Catholic charities, or maybe they're connected with a community action group, or they're connected with the schools. And so I think it's really important to just have an array of information and contacts with other organizations. We don't work alone or in a silo, as they say.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense to me. So what would be the job responsibilities? I don't want to lose track of the fact that you have a vacancy right here in Central Illinois. So what would be the duties and qualifications of a person to take on that role?
Well, one, we definitely want someone who has experience, whether it's professional experience or personal experience in the disability field. We like that person to have experience with customer service, as we do take a large number of phone calls. We also want someone who is skilled with computers, meaning like the computer software, like Word and Excel, and is comfortable working remotely. We have a home office in Mokena, Illinois, but our information and outreach specialists work from home. They also do presentations both virtually as well as in person when it is, per COVID or actually per, the public health, if that permits. So someone who's comfortable speaking with the public, both virtually and in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I can think of a lot of people in Central Illinois that would meet those qualifications. So hopefully, you'll get some response soon. Have you gotten applicants
yet? Yes, we have, but we do encourage individuals to go to our website. It is posted there at www.thearcofil.org. To definitely look at the job position, and hopefully that'll spark even more interest. It's good to have a group of potential candidates.
Yeah. So we spoke last week, or I forget when exactly it was, to the person who's now doing the family-to-family health information network. And so how does that differ from what you're doing with Illinois Lifespan?
We're considered like the generalists, where we know a little bit of everything, but we collaborate with our colleagues who have more expertise. And we're also across the lifespan. The only age group that we really don't touch is 0 to 3, because there's already the early intervention system, which works with infants and toddlers. So we generally field calls from individuals where or families ages 3 and up and across the lifespan. So we get a variety of questions, special education, puns, benefits. The Family-to-Family Health Information Center, they're primarily with individuals under the age of 21 and who have a complex health condition, and they may or may not have a developmental disability. So but we complement each other.
Yeah, it's sort of a subset of what you're doing. Okay, so what is the, is there like a single question that you get more than any other?
Well, I'm going to say there's three. I hope you don't mind.
Oh,
the
no,
first
that's
one
fine.
Being puns. What is puns and where can I sign up for puns? The second one is usually a benefits question. And that really is about Medicaid. I have a concern about applying for Medicaid or where can I apply for Medicaid? And then the third one is special education advocacy. You know, I'm having issues. I have an IEP within the next month or the next, sometimes the next day, which is a little difficult. Or sometimes, you know, they want more in, you know, more information about transition.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is particularly the high school to adulthood. That is a big concern for our family. So those are pretty much the three main questions that we get.
So what do people need to know about puns? And honestly, Medicaid is very closely related to being on puns and getting services. But what's your explanation of what it is?
PUNS is a wait list for state funding, and generally it's part of the process of planning for the future. And so there are 8 independent service coordination agencies for the state of Illinois, and we encourage parents to sign up their children as young as 2.5. They can sign up for PUNS. There may be a wait, and sometimes it's longer than what we would wish for. But it is a stepping stone to state services, which is very much needed because people want respite / personal support, or they want therapies, or, you know, they want to think about supportive employment, as well as community day services. And PUNS is a stepping stone to that.
So if a person calls you and says, oh, well, you know, I heard it takes a long time, it's really complicated to get on the PUNS list, what's your response to them?
It's not complicated getting on the PUNS. You really need to have some documentation, which I give them some information, but I always tell them, please, when you call your ISC, make sure to ask specifically what they want. But in a nutshell, you know, you do need a copy of the IEP that documents your developmental disabilities, and you need a copy of your Social Security card. The ISC for your region may require other documentation. But I wouldn't, because of there may be a long response time, I always encourage families to give at least 2 weeks for the independent service coordination agencies to get back to them.
Yeah, and they are sending out invitations for people to apply quite a bit more regularly than they used to since the Liggett Court agreement was reached. So that's promising too.
Yes.
How is Medicare or Medicaid attached to PUNS? How are the two related?
Well, you do not need Medicaid to apply for PUNS. Now, when you apply for PUNS, you're on the wait list, and then when the opportunity comes that you are selected off the PUNS list, then you will need to have Medicaid. However, there is a process where you can apply for Medicaid, and that goes hand in hand with actually getting the funding. But like I said before, you do not need Medicaid to get on PUNS. It's only at the time that you have been selected off the PUNS list. Then if you have Medicaid, there's no more what you need to do. But if you don't have Medicaid, then you need to apply for it.
So in our area, the ISC, the Independent Service Coordination Agency, as that little acronym stands for, is the Champaign County Regional Planning Office. So if somebody who wants to be on the PUNS list, they would go to that agency. And if they get a letter, and I'm just trying to clarify this in my own mind, they go back, and is it that agency that would help them through applying for Medicaid then?
Yes. They could also apply independently. There are several organizations statewide as well as locally that help individuals apply for Medicaid. So Illinois Hunger Coalition is one of those organizations that will help people apply statewide. And then there's some local ones that, you know, may help families as well.
Yeah, because I think, you know, anytime you have to do things through the government, people get a little nervous about, you know, how complicated is this going to be? But if there's help out there, and you can't have disability services in Illinois without being on Medicaid, correct?
So can you repeat the question just one more time?
Let me phrase the question a little differently. Do you have to be on Medicaid to receive disability services from the state of Illinois?
Not necessarily. There are grant-funded developmental disability services. They do not require you to have a Medicaid coverage. Mainly, it's the adult developmental disability services that do require that you have Medicaid coverage. So, for example, a grant-funded service is respite, which is a temporary break from caregiving. That program is grant-funded, meaning it's not tied to Medicaid. It's a block, pretty much like a grant of a certain amount of money. And then depending on the agency, they determine who will get that respite services. But you just need to have a diagnosis of developmental disability and live in that community. But if you wanted like something like a community day service, or you wanted supportive employment, then yes, you need to have Medicaid coverage.
Yeah, and a group home or...
Right, or residential, correct.
Yeah,
a group home.
Yeah. Or home-based support services, that would require it as well.
Yes, home-based support services is another one.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's not lose sight of other things that you're doing. Thank you for all that clarification. I think that's really important for a lot of people. Your webinars, tell me about those.
Yes. So we have our webinars on a monthly basis on the second Tuesday of the month, although on occasion we do have changes in dates. They are our lunchtime webinars, so they're from noon to 1, and we pick topics that related to disabilities, and we try to be as broad as possible because we know our audience is families, professionals, as well as self-advocates. So this month, we are on August 9th, which is tomorrow, we are having supported decision-making, which is a brand new option for the state of Illinois. Prior to that, it used to be guardianship and power of attorney. Mm-hmm. Well, as of February of this year, supportive decision making is a third option that families and their children, adults or, you know, from 18 and over, can decide if that is an appropriate way in terms of decision making.
Yeah. I had Teresa Parks on the show, when the law was first going through the legislature in Springfield, and she explained it to the listeners then. But yeah, that would be such a valuable topic for people to participate in. What are some of the other ones that you've done in the past? And we'll get back to, you know, getting people the information they need to get registered and, you know, participate in that thing tomorrow.
Social Security has been on our webinars. So Josephine Mueller has been wonderful in terms of talking about SSI as well as SSDI. We've also had siblings talk about the sibling network. We've had special recreation associations or cooperatives talk about their programming. So we try to, like I said, a variety of topics. The other thing that we also are doing is having our webinars in Spanish so that we can reach another population that also needs information as well.
Yeah, I think that's really an important effort that the ARC has really put a lot of energy into that that I'm sure is appreciated by the community.
And the other thing about our webinars is that they are archived. And so if you're not able to listen to it, you know, the day of live, individuals can always go back a week later and we post the recording as well as any handouts, like, you know, the PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. So it's not lost. It's, you know, people still have the opportunity. We keep it up there for a year, and then after a year, then, you know, we will move it off our website. So it is, you know, people can go back and say, oh, I think you had a webinar on ABLE, which we did in June, a month prior, 2 months actually, and they can review it, you know, again, during the daytime or when it's easier after work. So we want to make it as accessible as possible.
That's great. So do you have like a email list or some kind of a notification for families that you send the stuff out to them, or is that simply
Once you register for one webinar, then you will stay on our email list. They could also reach out to me and we get them on our email list. So yes, once you register, we capture your email, so to speak, and then you will get reminders or like, oh, this is an upcoming, would you like to register?
Mm-hmm.
So they have that, or they can contact us and say, yes, I want to be placed on the email list.
Yeah, what a great resource for families. This is really great. So what do people need to do to get registered for tomorrow or for future webinars?
Sure. So they can go to our website at www.IllinoisLifespanProgram, and they can go to the link there, or they can go to www.thearcofil.org, and under events, that's the tab, and they see upcoming events, and they can go to tomorrow's topic, supportive decision making, and sign up. And all we ask is for your name and your email address. We do not ask for any other information.
And there's no cost to this.
There is no cost, yes.
Wow. Sounds like a great resource. And if people want to send you their resume for your open position in Central Illinois?
Yes, they should send it to hr@thearcofil.org.
Okay. And the job description is on the ARC of Illinois website as well.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you didn't have a chance to say that you want to say about the Lifespan program or anything else that we've discussed?
Yes, I would appreciate the helpline. They could always call us at 1-800-588-7002. Again, 1-800-588-7002. That is our line that they can call us if they have any questions or concerns, that we definitely would like to link them to the resource. So, for example, if someone has a question about special education advocacy, you know, depending on where they are in the state of Illinois, we would link them to the Parent Training and Information Center. And then we could also give them one of our fact sheets, which within the past year and a half, we've developed a number of fact sheets, both in English and Spanish, on the topics. As we've seen, you know, the patterns of how many people have called us on a particular topic, we've developed really easy-to-read fact sheets.
And all bilingual as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been very helpful. Rocio Perez of the ARC of Illinois Lifespan Project. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. No.